Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4071.
Turning in the grain again, the bells began to chime. Time, she says, there's no turning back. Keep your eyes on the tracks through the fields. Somewhere there's blue. Oh, time will tell, she'll see us through.
It's Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast. Seven D's toward A-level performance.
Time we took, you should know just how it steals. Keep your hand on the wheel, and through it all, somewhere we know where time will tell, she'll see us through. All we trust, we're kicking up dust. Stations fade just like they do. Old time will tell, we always knew.
Time will tell. Gregory Alan Isakov. The album, The Weatherman. It's from a 2013 record. You recognize it from the Subaru TV commercials. Yeah. There you go. Now you remember. I have everything this man has recorded going back to 2005 and was quite pleased when I began to hear the spots this year play this song, Time Will Tell. $9.99 over at iTunes. You should buy it. And time will tell. It always does. Time will reveal if we're foolish or if we're wise. And here, it's leaning toward wisdom. Modern tales of an ancient pursuit. That's the goal. Hi, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here, as we traverse, well, what can be pretty tough terrain sometimes. Leaning toward wisdom is not about some ideal version of living, because none of us are wise all the time. Few of any of us, are as wise as we think we are. I think the best and the brightest among us, we're foolish sometimes. I watch enough Discovery Channel crime shows to know that Harvard graduates and Stanford MBAs can do some stupid, horribly criminal things. Violent crimes, including murder. I mean, the height of foolishness, isn't it? I watched some episode about a guy, he graduated top of his class, you know, in high school, and goes on to Harvard Law. Gets out, gets a big job, big career, murders his girlfriend. And as I'm watching this in my head, I'm thinking, you know, what was he thinking? I mean, come on, he knew better than this. But it assumes that knowing better is the only key to wisdom. And many of us have behaved foolishly in spite of knowing better. No, not murder. Lesser crimes, maybe. I mean, I've been caught speeding in spite of the fact that I knew better. Most recently, I got a parking ticket because I parked against the traffic. Do you hear me? I parked against the traffic. My car was facing the wrong way. How stupid was that? Yeah, don't answer that. Well, I can tell you how foolish it was. It was $106 worth of foolishness. Am I smarter than that? Well, of course I am. Did I know better? Yes, ma'am. I absolutely knew better. I did it anyway. And so the truth is we can behave foolishly and we can behave wisely. And sometimes we can do both within a pretty short period of time. Maybe it takes a lifetime to really find wisdom, but it only takes a single moment, just a single moment of extreme foolishness to end it all. I'm thinking of that poor drunk idiot who blew his head off when he put a firework on top of his head July 4th. Okay, maybe that wasn't a single act of foolishness. It happened in a single moment. I mean, there was a lot of alcohol involved. There was some showing off, no doubt, involved. Fireworks, well, they were involved. Just proved to be a very deadly combination. If it takes a lifetime to find and execute wisdom, maybe, just maybe, we have stumbled onto the difficulty of the task.
Can't recall the day when I didn't want to disappear, but I keep on showing up, helping on growing up. If it takes a lifetime, I'm learning how to be alone, fall asleep with the TV on, and I fight the urge to live inside my telephone. I keep my spirits high.
It is Jason Isbell. It's his latest record. It just came out last week. Well, the entire record came out. The name of the record is Something More Than Free. 2015. July 2015. So it's brand spanking new. $9.99 over at iTunes. And I got to encourage you to buy Jason Isbell. The guy's a songwriting fool. The name of the song is If It Takes a Lifetime, and sometimes it does. And I hope it won't take a lifetime for your day to come. Man, I didn't think he could outdo himself with Southeastern, which was the record that he released, I don't know, was it a year ago, over a year ago. Got him big acclaim, and he's outdone it. He's outdone, in my opinion. I like that record, but this record is this record's going to do well for Jason, and I'm happy. Not long ago, I was asked by a client about being an A player. Namely, what did I think was involved in being an A player or leading a team to become an A team? And unless you've got Mr. T on your team, you can embrace a variety of strategies, I guess, to drive performance up. But it does start, I think, with our own ability to be an A player. And I admit that I had an internal conflict about doing this subject here or doing it at the other podcast, the one that's more work-related over at higherhumanperformance.com, if you're interested. But I decided to bring it over here because something just told me I needed to kind of get back on track. Well, not that I've been off track. I've incorporated a lot of music and I've ventured a little bit away just because I wanted to. I did it intentionally from kind of the theme of some earlier shows around here. So this is the effort to get back maybe on a little more specific track. A players aren't foolish. Mostly they're wise folks. And I think they are wise folks who are prone to making the right decision more often than not, especially when we're talking about leaders, because leaders are basically paid to make decisions, preferably good decisions. A players not only make better decisions than the lesser players, but they also behave better. They execute better. You can make all the sports analogies that you want, but that really isn't what I'm about, and it's not what I'm going to do here, because this is just about A-level performance. And we know what that means. It's better than B-level or C-level, certainly than D or F-level performance. And yes, we can all be capable of all of those, just like we can all be capable of making a foolish choice, like some of us can park going the wrong direction, even though we know better. I've had lots of conversations through the years about higher human performance, leadership, and executive coaching. While those are focal points of my professional life, they're also a big part of my personal interest. But this podcast, Leaning Toward Wisdom, is all about the various aspects of wisdom. And today it's about the wisdom of chasing and achieving A-level performance. Because after all, if it's worth doing well, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. It's worth doing it as well as we can. Right here is where, this is where you'll hear overachievers say, whatever it takes. Her name is Sinead Lohan. A 1998 record that I was not able to find online. I've got the CD. The name of the record is called No Mermaid. The name of the song is Whatever It Takes. Just whatever it takes. Some people will make that outlandish, trite claim in just about every endeavor of life. You know, you just got to do whatever it takes. Yeah, you know, since we're talking about wisdom, I think we've got to eliminate that trite phrase and probably many others, whatever it takes. Because our ability to be high performers, it can't hinge on our willingness to do whatever it takes. I mean, that gets people in trouble. And getting into trouble is not wise. It's foolish. Whatever it takes is an idiotic strategy. I do have some suggestions, and I got some thoughts on a better way to achieve good, maybe even great results, though. And it's, yeah, throw out this whole notion of, you know, you just got to do whatever it takes. Because you and I both, we both know the truth of the matter. You're not willing to do whatever it may take. And that's a good thing. It's probably not a good thing if you're willing to compromise anything and everything just to get what you think you want. This all began, as I said, when a client asked me about A-level performance, and I threw out some words that just, I wasn't thinking about it at the time, but they all began with the letter D. Now, maybe it was subliminal, I don't know. It wasn't planned, it just happened. But I started thinking more deeply about it all, and I decided that I would try to develop into a framework, especially for this podcast, to see if it might help some of my clients. And then I thought, you know, maybe this will help somebody else. And so I hope it does. And the first D word that I mentioned in this conversation with a client was the word discover. Discover. Improvement requires an openness for us to consider alternatives, better ways. In fact, in my coaching and consulting, the big word that I use is exploration. It's an exploration. But in this one conversation, answering this question, I used the word discover. And I made a proper distinction between those two words because this client had heard me talk about exploration. Well, exploration is a search. Worthwhile. Discovery, or to discover, is finding something. It's the result of the exploration. I mean, what's the point of the exploration if you don't discover anything? And so that's how this whole seven words thing began. And the fact that they were started with the letter D was, like I said, it was just, I don't know, serendipity. I don't know what it was. So remember, the objective was an individual's ability to elevate their own performance. And no, this was not an athletic performance. This was a business performance. This was a leadership performance. This was a management operations kind of performance. And I haven't tried to apply to everything, but I'll confess to you, I've had a few weeks now to think about it. And I have mentally applied it to any number of human endeavors. And I'm not here to tell you that it's foolproof. I mostly want to do what I always do. I want to provoke you to consider it. I want to provoke you to think it through. I want to provoke you to make application and see if you can improve on it. Because in order to be wise, I think first, it must be thoughtful.
So thoughtful, yeah, yeah. about me.
He's an Aussie young man. His name is Cody Simpson. He's a pop star. Not so much a pop kind of guy, but it's kind of catchy. In a Jason Mraz kind of way. It's his latest record, 2015 record. It's $7.99 over at iTunes. The name of the record is Free. It's not free. It's $7.99, but that's the name of the record. The name of the tune is Thoughtful. T-H-O-T. F-U-L. Yeah, that's what we want to be as we're leaning toward wisdom.
She'll be anything to anyone. Whoa. But she gives nothing back to me. Oh, she's so thoughtful. Yeah, yeah. Thoughtful as she can be. Oh, no, 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 no. She's so thoughtful. Don't ever think about me. La 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 la. La 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 la. She's so thoughtful. Oh no 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 no. She don't ever think about me. I would be a star. So she went down the road and pawned my guitar. Said, stay home and don't be a fool. Then I seen her around the corner with a you-know-who. My man Big Lou Rose Royce, top choice. Got a couple houses and a whole lot of toys. But she don't wanna play with mine. No, she don't, 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 don't. She don't wanna play with mine. She'll be nice enough to everyone she meets. Then she... then she'll cut them till they bleed. Cause she's so thoughtful, yeah, yeah. Thoughtful as she can be. Oh, she's so thoughtful. But she don't ever think about me. No, 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 no. She don't ever think about me. Me, yeah.
It's worth $8. It really is. It really is. I kind of like it. Cody Simpson. Name of the record is Free, Thoughtful, T-H-O-T-F-U-L. Don't know if he can't spell or I don't know. Okay, let's get on with this. I'm going to walk you through my own thought process. We're going to dive into these 7 D's toward an A-level performance. And first, I'm going to give you an 8th D. It's a bonus word, because this is where much of this needs to begin, and the word is desire. Desire. We can stumble into or onto things, but surely we can all agree that our lives really are better served, best served, when we act intentionally, chasing things that we really want to accomplish. A blind pig and all that. So today's show isn't about acquiring stuff. It's not about living like a rock star. It's not about, you know, fashioning this internet dream world. It's about our own performance. It's about doing something worthwhile and doing it well. It's about elevating our performance. The D word preface, desire, isn't included in my 7 because it's, well, it's more subjective than the entire process. I mean, there's not really anything objective about desire. You want what you want. And people can tell you that, well, you ought to want something else. And they can urge you to want something that they think is better for you. But it's your life, it's your performance, it's your choice, and you want what you want. Now, I'm not saying it can't be changed, and I'm not saying that you can't gain some wisdom and make better choices when it comes to your desire. You absolutely can. That is what temperance is all about. That's what self-control is all about. And maybe that may be a future episode about wisdom. How can we improve our desires so they better serve our leaning toward wisdom? Okay, but that's not today's episode. Today, we're going to dive into these 7D words that can help us improve our performance. And I know we want to think that the only most honorable, the highest integrity people, they reach the heights of great performance and they are worth emulating, but it's just not true. Scoundrels can implement these strategies. Scoundrels can and do every day achieve great, outstanding results. Horrible people behaving in horrible ways achieve great things. You don't have to be, but it's possible. And it's naive for us to think that only the best among us are the high performers. It's naive for us to believe that Bill Gates and that Steve Jobs and any other titans that you may admire, living or alive, that they're wonderful, terrific human beings. They may be, but they may not be. And one doesn't preclude the other. Bill Cosby and Tiger Woods have proven in recent years that that's untrue. I mean, you can have a desire to achieve positive professional results and you can still be a lowlife character who's got shabby morals. But here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, I'm assuming that you're here. I know I am, because I'm pretty sure that's not how we roll. So give your desire some thought, though, and think carefully about what you want, and think about why you want what you want. And with that, let's get into the 7 D's toward A-level performance. And the first one is discover. Discover. High achievers assume some things. And those assumptions, they're different than the things that are assumed by lower-level performers. I know because I've spent years working with both ends of the spectrum and all the ones in between. Try to train a person who isn't yet an A-level player or a person who's not committed to become one, and you're going to run into resistance. Can guarantee it. They're going to tell you all the reasons why this new, different approach will not work. It won't work for me. And many of them won't even try it. They just dismiss it. Yeah, there's another D word that could apply to the people who never will be A players. They're dismissive. You've seen this. You've seen this many, many times. I'm thinking of this TV show, Extreme Weight Loss. Have you seen this thing? And these people, I mean, these are people that need to lose 40 to 50% of their body weight just to get to healthy. So these are people that are morbidly obese, and they got a lot of work to do. And Chris Powell and his wife, they take them on this year-long journey. And part of it at the end, if they lose enough weight, it involves skin surgery. I mean, these are people that at the end of the process, they can have 30, 35 pounds of just excessive skin. Yeah. But at the start of it, every single time they run these people through what they call a fight or flight workout. That is, they just kick their butt to see what they can take and to kind of see what their mental status is. And almost every single time they run into resistance. And it's understandable. I mean, come on. These people didn't get in this shape by being people who were open to discover a better way to live life. No, these are people that dismiss. No, they're full of excuses. They're full of reasons why things are the way they are. They just dismiss any opportunity, any ability to explore a different way. And right out of the gate, these trainers encounter this. Now, most of them, at least, well, the ones that make the TV show, they get past it. But I think that resistance can affect all of us. If we're going to achieve greater levels of wisdom or anything else, we have to chase improvement. You know, it's just not good enough for us to be open to it. A lot of people are open to it. You know, if it fell in their lap, oh yeah, great. That's different. Being open to it is not the same thing as looking for it. Lewis and Clark weren't just open to finding a path to the western part of a new territory. They weren't sitting around hoping that it would land in their lap. Hardly. Captain Meriwether Lewis and Second Lieutenant William Clark, these were men who were commissioned by the President of the United States Thomas Jefferson to explore and to map out this new territory known as the Louisiana Purchase. And it wasn't a casual endeavor. I mean, it was this arduous journey. It started in St. Louis, Missouri in May of 1804. I don't know, 33, 35 or so folks set out. They spotted the Pacific Ocean on November 7th, 1805. About a year and a half later. Now, they weren't to the ocean. They just spotted it. It took them 2 weeks to get there, to reach the ocean after they saw it from a distance. They get back to St. Louis in late September, 1806. About 2.5 years. Lots of books have been filled with the discoveries that were made by the crews of Lewis and Clark. We have to search out improvement like Lewis and Clark. History knows these men as explorers. Well, they were soldiers. A captain, a second lieutenant. We don't think of them as soldiers. They were explorers. Here's my question. Are you an explorer? Are you really searching for ways to get better? Most people aren't. Most people, they are who they are. They are where they are. Oh, yeah. Sometimes, maybe even a lot of times, people wish things were different. People wish things were better. We wish we had a better job. We wish things were better in our life. But that's all people do, mostly, wish. Now, explorers don't wish. This first word, discover, they don't sit around wishing. They go looking. And I'm supposing you're not satisfied with your wisdom. I'm supposing you're not satisfied with your achievements, because I don't know why you'd be listening to a podcast called Leaning Toward Wisdom if you were. You want more. You want to get smarter. You want to get wiser. You want to accomplish more. In short, you want to be more impactful. And you and I both know you can be. But it's not just going to land in your lap without any effort on your part. It's going to take hard, hard work. The second D is dissect. Dissect. Now, along the way, that is your expedition toward A-level performance, you're going to face choices. Yes, decide is going to be an upcoming D, but dissect comes first. What's the process of making a decision? Well, that's where dissection comes in. You got to cut them up. You got to take them apart. You got to consider what option's best. That's dissection. Now, there are some words of wisdom that I have found myself offering consistently for, I don't know, as long as I can remember. And mostly because I think they're crazy simple and they're crazy effective. And if anything, I'm crazy. And if anything, I'm simple. Effective? Okay, you can be the judge. Chief among these kinds of simple admonitions that I'm pretty fond of, and ones that, frankly, I have sought to embrace in my own life for decades, is really summed up in these two questions. What's the worst thing that can happen? What's the best thing that can happen? Now, the questions aren't brilliant or simple, really, but the answers are. And most people don't spend the mental effort or the time to really drill down the answers and keep drilling down. Rarely is the worst thing even possible. Usually, it's hardly probable. It doesn't matter. It still scares us to death. And it's just one of the many tools that you can use in this phase to dissect what you've discovered. You have to weigh the discoveries. Lewis and Clark discovered a lot of things in their journey from St. Louis to the west coast of America and back, by the way. So by the time they reached the Pacific Ocean, they knew they had discovered something more monumental than most things they had seen along the way. I mean, come on, it's a stinking ocean. Okay, so your discoveries, they're not quite so monumental. But still, you need to vet them. You need to dissect them. I use the word dissect because it signifies looking at the discoveries from every angle as we sit here and we try to figure out what we're going to do. This is deliberate. There's another D word for you. This is deliberate work. Maybe you dissected a frog in high school biology class. You remember that? Well, you didn't just happen to do it. No, you intentionally did it. You followed the instructions that were given to you by the teacher. Same thing here. You need to closely examine what you've discovered. You put it under the magnifying glass. You turn it every which way but loose. You make sure that you're seeing it for what it really is and not for what you may want it to be. Now, for example, I've known some people who thought they discovered an ability to sing. Well, it wasn't much of a discovery, really, as it was a desire. And desire isn't the same thing as discovery. Kelly Clarkson, yeah, too many L's, too many K's here. Kelly Clarkson, she was a local girl here from Burleson, Texas. It's a little town that's really a suburb of Fort Worth. She discovered she could sing. And like so many other talented people, she didn't really have any idea how good she was. Okay, humility helps. She was recruited, so the story goes, by a high school choir teacher who just overheard her singing in the halls at school. Now, fast forward to high school graduation, she had some scholarship offers to college. But by then, she had spent a few years steeped in this scene and writing music stuff, and she figured, yeah, she was going to try to chase the West Coast dream. And so off to Los Angeles she goes. Okay, it didn't go so well. And eventually she came back home. She came back home to Burleson, Texas. And it was back here in Texas that friends urged her, this new TV show, American Idol, you should go for that. You should try out for that. Well, shut your mouth. She wins the first season. She became a household name. Now she's a Nashville star. And it all started with a discovery that sparked her desire. Now, she did her share of dissecting her options. I can guarantee you she did. In fact, I would suspect she is still dissecting her options. Some people call it weighing your options. Well, the next D is discuss. This part of the process is both internal and external. We all have self-talk, little voices in our head. I don't mean the schizophrenic kind. Well, some of us may have those. We have these conversations with ourselves as we're surveying our options and our choices. Some of us might even be nutty enough to have a conversation out loud. If you do that, just a word of warning, make sure that you're alone where nobody can see you or hear you when you do this. I speak from experience. I'll tell you, one of the great things is earbuds and the microphone. I mean, cell phone technology has really made me appear much more sane in public, especially when I'm driving in the car and I'm talking to myself, because people, they just assume that you're on the phone. So when you see me and I'm talking and I'm on the phone, I'm not talking to myself. We all need somebody we can talk with, a person that can help us sort through it all. Your A-level performance needs help from other people. Everybody needs somebody else to help them. I hear it way too much, and you do too, and I just don't buy it. You know, the self-made man, the self-made woman, I haven't met them yet. I'm not saying they don't exist, but I haven't met anybody yet. And I can tell you that there's a long, long list of people that I owe a big thank you to for just about everything that's positive that's happened in my life. I am the anti-self-made man. So if you're the self-made man or woman, I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to hear that story because, man, mine is so incredibly different. There's just a sea of people in the wake, kind of behind this boat that I'm driving called my life, who have absolutely helped me immeasurably. And I think that's true for most of us because we all need help. And wisdom is enhanced when we talk it over with somebody. Find somebody that we trust. Well, I think it can be enhanced. And if you trust a fool, well, okay, all bets are off. You need to trust somebody that's got a degree of wisdom themselves. But talk it over with somebody. You need to talk it over with somebody. That's this whole discuss part. And I'm not talking about just talking in circles either.
It's so late can't hear what we're saying, no matter how hard we try. We're so tired, like broken records playing, that we laugh when we cry. So hold me now, I think it's time that we let it go. We're talking in circles, it's breaking us down. We're losing the purpose, can we figure it out? We're talking in circles, let's turn it around. It's making me dizzy, all the ups and the downs. Going round and round and round and round and round and round and round again. Round and round and round and here we go. I don't care.
His name is Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly is a guy who has, he has gone through at least three changes that I know of, and I hang with him. He's most recently kind of gone more hardcore country, and that's, I bowed out. This was a 2007 record, and I'll tell you the strange thing about this record is, and it's available at iTunes for $9.99. This song's not on it. The name of the record is Just Say the Word. There's a deluxe version. I think it's $11.99. I got the CD, and this is track number 9 on the CD, Talking in Circles. Here's the odd thing. Go to any digital download. This track doesn't show up. I did some Googling trying to figure out what happened. What track number 9 is something else. I don't know. Talking in Circles. The song got pulled or something. There's a story there. Yeah, I wasn't that curious to know. I do like Josh Kelly, but yeah, I don't like everything. So, but don't talk in circles. That's the point. The point is, as you're talking to people and you're discussing things, and I bring this up, the whole talking in circle thing, primarily because I have people talk to me. I have people want to run things by me, and they want to get some input from me. And in so many cases, they just stumble bum around, and they just can't get to the point of it all. And I'm not talking about wasting time. I'm talking about people just, I don't know if it's not being able to articulate and to think about what they want to do, or people even, I tell you my sense of it. My sense of it is there are so many people that just don't know how to even have the conversation with somebody that they trust, because it seems to me that a lot of people, they want to skip over this whole discuss part, because really what they want is they want to know what you think they should do. I don't mean that, okay? When I say discuss, there's just something beneficial to our verbalizing, our articulating. If you need to write it down on paper first, that's fine. If you need to type it out in an Evernote note, whatever you need to do to kind of get the idea down, then do that. Do that. But you need to have a sober conversation and some dialogue, I think, to help you distill and process your situation. And don't go looking for somebody to make the decision for you, which is the next D, by the way. Decide. Even with the help of trusted people, the decision, it's ours to make. Yeah, your mom, she may want to make that decision for you, but that's not how wisdom is practiced. If you're going to lean toward wisdom, then you got to own your decision. Remember, the focus here is the pursuit of A-level performance. These are 7 D's to propel us toward A-level performance. We're not talking about making budget decisions with your husband or your wife. You need to do that together. We've got to make a lot of decisions in our life with other people. I'm not talking about those. We have to make our own decisions about what we're going to do, about our own performance, even when it comes to things like our work ethic. Now, it can be real tempting, like I said, to ask people, and this is what I find most people do. What should I do? What do you think I should do? Resist that. Don't ask that question. Because let me tell you, people, they're going to offer that whether you ask or not. And as much as you may think you want people to tell you what to do, they're not you. They don't have as much skin in the game. Ideally, you want somebody willing to help you examine the alternatives. Okay, but that's kind of the previous steps, dissection and discussion. You're past that now. Now it's the time to decide. Now it's time for you to mull it over as much as you can or as much as you're able to, given maybe there's some time constraint, or to make up your own mind. I'm thinking of a person that got a job offer out of the blue. They'd made some other career decisions. Well, they didn't go looking for this, but they were obviously looking to propel themselves forward, but they'd made a decision to kind of go in one direction, and out of the blue came an offer that was frankly almost, well, it was too good to turn down, and they didn't turn it down. Okay, well, there are some other people that weren't terribly happy about that decision. And the comment that I made was, well, the problem is those people that aren't happy with your decision, they don't have your responsibilities. They're not paying your bills. They're not you. So they can just build a bridge and get over it. You got to own your own decision. I want to offer you a few questions that you should answer as you do this. Number one, if I decide wrong, can I recover? And how can I recover? So if we take a person who's got a career decision, they're walking down one path, they've decided they're going to do this one thing, and then another offer comes along, and now they're weighing, well, should I stick to my original plan, or should I take this new offer? Okay, well, what if I decide wrong? Okay. Does a door shut completely? Does it just shut momentarily? Is it a bridge that you're burning? What if you decide wrong? Can you recover? The answer to that question, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, is yes. Yes, you can recover. How can I recover? Okay, well, that one probably is going to take a little bit more time to wrestle down, but you should do that. Number two, which choices stand out as being clearly superior? I got choice A, I got choice B, maybe I got choice C and D. Which choices stand out as clearly being the best ones? Focus just on those. Now, you could approach it from the opposite viewpoint. That is, well, which ones stand out as clearly being awful? They're clearly the inferior choices. Okay, kick those to the curb. Now we get on to the next step, and that is develop or design. So Kelly Clarkson, she decides to go to L.A. to pursue music. Now, that didn't mean she had a strategy at the point of decision. She might have, I don't know. But that's what this step is all about. Because once you decide, now you got to figure out your approach. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? How long are you going to do it? How will you know if it's working well? How will you know if you're wasting your time? Those are all the issues of development. And it seems to me that we universally hear a lot more about this whole making up your mind part of the process instead of hearing very much about the strategies or the tactics necessary to give that decision a fighting chance to win. So let's stick with this story of Kelly Clarkson, shall we? So she's sitting at home in Burleson, Texas, and she's wanting to pursue music. And she's made the decision. I'm going to go to L.A. Okay, now what? Well, through some process, she designed to go to L.A. Why not Nashville? Why not New York? I don't know. I mean, we'd have to ask her. But in the music industry, there are many paths or strategies to pursue. I've talked here before about busking, you know, playing on the streets for tips. And a lot of musical artists have done that. So far as I know, Kelly Clarkson never did busk. Ed Sheeran did. And he also had a significantly different background than her. You know, she's going to church three times a week, and Ed's parents, they're taking him to see Van Morrison. Yeah, okay, he's singing in the church choir, brought up as a Catholic kid, and he's singing at the age of 4 or 5, but it's different. His parents are taking him to see Van Morrison. He goes to London. And then he wound up hopping between Nashville and Los Angeles. One size does not fit all. There's something that causes problems at this phase. You want to know what it is? Sure you do, and I'm going to tell you anyway. You don't even have to ask. Copycat-itis. Copycat-itis. We want to find somebody who's done what we hope to do, and then we want to do it the way they did it. In fact, there's advice that tells us to do that. You've heard these people talk about these mastermind. You know, get in a mastermind group and get in a group where people are a step ahead. They're doing what you want to do. I'm not saying it's a bad strategy. I'm just saying it's copycat-itis. That's different. That's a whole different verb than the verb develop or design. That verb is copy. Well, I didn't use that. It starts with a C, not a D. No, that's not why. Plagiarize, we could use that one. Don't mistake one for the other. They are not even remotely the same thing. The time spent trying to find somebody to copy and then trying to copy them, I think, would be far better spent figuring out your own strategy. So Kelly Clarkson, she lives here in America, and she did at the time. She lived in Burleson, Texas, America, not the UK. It made sense for Ed to venture into London. I mean, these two musicians, they came from different worlds with different skills, different desires. I mean, no wonder they chose different paths. And I'm certain they both morphed things all along the way. Kelly, she left LA, moved back to Texas after failing miserably. Ed, he went to Cambridge and he played for a few years before he went to London. And after a couple of years in London, guess where he flew to? Yep, LA. Okay, well, maybe he and Kelly have more in common than I thought. The route that we take to A-level performance depends on where we're at when we start. You know, grab your phone, type in a destination into Google Maps on your iPhone, and you're going to be prompted to let the app know, do you want to use your current location as a starting place? Well, what if you don't want to use that as your starting place? Okay, simple. Type in the address of where you do want to start. And each starting point is going to provide a different design, a different course, a different route. Why? Well, because it has to. You're not starting from the same place. I have probably spent more time in this stage looking at my own life and the lives of the people that I serve, mostly because I see many people who agonize over making the decision, and then they act with haste to pull the trigger. Sometimes not even knowing what they're aiming at. But I've seen other people who can make a hasty decision only to get stuck in this phase of trying to figure out what they should do now. And honestly, I think both ends of the deal, they deserve some deliberate, thoughtful consideration. A true confession, I know that I am prone to ponder the decision for a period of time and then jump. And when I jump, I tend to go all in. But that's only because I've spent time carefully considering the decision. And then there are other times that I can be somewhat knee-jerk to make a decision, but I can get all twisted up, agonizing about how to implement it. And so I confess that I have to consciously focus on giving each step, each end of it, the attention that it deserves. Before I move on, let me offer one more piece of information about this develop or design step. Don't grow anxious trying to get it just right. Develop a strategy to move you forward. Think about the very next thing, at most the very next two things that you can do. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Yeah, I know we want to know where we're headed. We want to know the final outcome. And okay, that's a goal. That's a desire. We want to know where we want to head. But if I've plugged in a destination into Google Maps and it's 20 miles away from my current location, do I really care which direction I'm going to turn at mile 18? No. What difference does it make? I got 18 miles to go before I get there. And I got a lot of turns maybe that I got to execute before I get to that point. And so that's the thing I'm talking about. That's getting ahead of yourself. Avoid doing that. But the truth of the matter is, you do have to find your way. His name is Nathan Angelo. It's from a 2015 EP called Caroline. The name of the song is Find My Way. He's another artist that I really like. I think he's from South Carolina somewhere. Nathan Angelo. $5.99 over at iTunes. Nathan Angelo. I tell you what you can do. You can find your way over to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Hit that support the podcast tab up in the navigation. And the very first item, if you want to support the podcast, I accept Apple iTunes gift cards. Any denomination will do. Anything that will help my music habit. So there's that. Let's get back to the D, shall we? Because we're getting down to it now. Do. That's the sixth D. Now it's time to get in the car and drive. You know where you're headed. You know how you want to get there. Time to go. I grew up in retailing, not by birth, but by choice. Selling stereo gear as a teenager propelled me into this lifelong career that I never saw coming. Talk about not having a strategy. Well, I didn't. I just knew I wanted to be an A player. So I put in the work. I grew. I learned. Good things happened. Some bad things happened too. But along the way, I learned about merchandising and purchasing. And one of the things that I learned was that there's always another deal. So whenever a vendor would approach me with some killer deal, we got a killer deal, you need to pull the trigger on this right away. It's not going to last long. I just would not allow myself to be pressured into making a hasty decision. And so if my delay caused me to lose the deal, and sometimes it did, I didn't fret about it because there's always another deal. But I also learned that I could make quick, well-informed decisions and I could course correct based on feedback from the market. You know what the feedback was? It was really complicated. Okay, so you're going to have to really dig deep and get your thinking cap on because the metrics was really complicated. Customers' decisions to buy or not. Okay, I bought this. Are we selling them or not? Well, I became a speed freak. In fact, I still am a speed freak. I wanted to have great data and information, and I wanted to make my first decision. All the while knowing that I was going to act very quickly to make the second correcting decision. So by the time I was 25, I was making decisions three times faster than competitors. That meant I was making my third decision by the time they made their first one. And I was smart enough, I was wise enough to know that my third decision's always going to be better than their first one. It doesn't matter if they're smarter than me. They're not three times smarter than me. That's how it goes with this step of doing. Go, do it. But be open to course correction along the way. You don't know what you're going to encounter along the way. You might hit a closed road. You might hit a traffic jam. There may be bad weather. You just never know. You need to be prepared and you need to be flexible. That doesn't mean that you're not committed to your design. It doesn't mean I'm not committed to this strategy. It just means that you're willing to adjust to the circumstances and the situations in real time. Listen, wisdom is largely being able to make the best decision in real time so that you can avoid regret. We can all look back. We can all look back in hindsight and go, well, man, you should have done this and you should have done that. Oh, easy. Easy to do. Even a simpleton can do that. Making a bad decision doesn't have to be regrettable if you course correct. But if you're unable to correct it, okay, it can be real regrettable. Here's what I always told my kids growing up. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. I just don't want you to make a mistake that you can't recover from. The seventh D. You ready? Here it is. Discover. Wait a minute. That was the first one. Yeah, it was. It's also the last one. This closes the loop on the process because this is not a once and done deal. When you're leaning harder toward wisdom, you're learning all along the way, and that means that you're adjusting. That means you're closing that knowing-doing gap. Gap control. Gap control is a big deal, so don't overlook it. Hockey coaches work with defensemen on gap control. I know you're not into hockey, but come on, go with it. Gap control is that distance between the attacking player, say the guy that's got the puck, and the opposing player, the guy that's trying to stop him from scoring into his net. And if that defenseman, if he gives that puck carrier too much space, too much room, it's not going to work out very well. Not if the guy's very good. He's going to give that opponent who's got the puck too much time, too much space to maneuver toward the net. He needs to close that gap. Why? Because closing that gap makes it difficult for the puck carrier to do anything harmful with the puck. In our efforts to elevate our performance, we've got to close the gap between what we learn and what we are learning and what we're doing. And that's why this final step is really critical. It keeps us improving. Look at the people that you know that are A players. They perform better than most because I'm betting they're not satisfied. I'm betting they want to get better. And that means they're paying close attention to how well things are working or not working. And they're making adjustments based on those results that they're getting. Sometimes the adjustments, they're just mere tweaks. Sometimes it's burning the thing to the ground and starting over. That's their commitment to revisit this step over and over again. Truth is, they're always in this mode of discovery. At every step, they're in this mode. like a driver who's always adjusting the steering wheel, even if we just do it slightly. Why are we doing that? Well, so we can stay in our lane, so we can stay on track. Sometimes it's really minor, especially if our car is properly aligned. If our car is out of alignment, then okay, we're cranking it one way or the other all the time. You know, subtle little changes sometimes. At other times, we're turning the wheel pretty hard because we got to make a left turn. The road, the conditions, the map, all that stuff determines the course. But each of us, we're determining the steering. We're taking the car where we want to go. So it is with your life. So it is with your performance. Don't get too caught up in trying to get it just right. I know we hear a lot about perfectionism. Well, life ain't perfect. And even with good wisdom, we're going to get it wrong an awful lot of the time. Our reactions and our responses, they determine the path, though. Let's just make them as good as we can and keep working this cycle of these 7 D's so that we can elevate our play. Because, you know, if we'll just commit to it, that's okay.
Child who was made of glass, you carried a black heart passed down from your dad. If somebody loved you, they'd tell you by now. We all turn away when you're down. You want to go back to where you felt safe, to hear your brother's laughter, see your mother's face. Your childhood home is just powder white bones, and you'll never find your way back. That's okay. If not, that's okay.
They are the Hush Sound, 2008 record. The name of the record is Goodbye Blues. The name of the song is That's Okay. $9.99 at iTunes. Episode 4071. 7 D's toward A-level performance. I appreciate you listening. Visit the website, won't you? LeaningTowardWisdom.com. Yeah, hit that support the podcast. All kinds of ways that you can do it. Ways that benefit me, ways that benefit you, ways that benefit us both. Most of all, I appreciate you listening. We are trying to lean toward wisdom. That's the objective of all that we're doing here. My name is Randy Cantrell. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is the website. Coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, from a place that I call the Yellow Studio. I decided I was going to dig into the archives. I was reminiscing the other day about visiting record shops. I miss that. I miss that whole activity. I miss vinyl. I know there are people that are still into it, and I'm not. I'm not one of those anti-compression guys, anti-digital sound guys. I know Neil Young has been all in the news lately, you know, taking his stuff off of streaming because of the crap of the sound. And I agree with him in part, but he does have a money motive. He's promoting an object called Pono that is it's kind of a lossless musical file playback device. And I'm all into that. That's perfectly cool. But I was thinking the other day about record shops and visiting record shops and all the tunes that I heard, particularly back in the 70s, in the early to mid 70s, the number of artists that I was first introduced to. And so I'm going to start ending the show at least a little bit with these kinds of musical clips. In 1973, I walked into my favorite record store at the time called Leisure Landing. Leisure Landing was a record store that was on State Street, which was right at the entrance of Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge. And I hung out there way too much for a person that didn't work there. But I walked in one day in 1973, and I heard this song playing, and I'd never heard this guy before. None of us had ever heard this guy before. He was 22 when this record came out. He died in 2007. He was 56 years old. And Irving Asimov, Asimov discovered this guy when he was 20 years old. And I knew that name. I had seen Irving Asimov's name on records before as a producer. Well, Irving sends him to Nashville, and that's where he recorded this record. And he recorded this record with Norm Putman. Well, Norm Putman was another guy that I had known from reading. This was the great thing about albums back in the day, if you're too young to remember. You know, you had these liner notes on the outside. You could not only see who played on the record, not just the band members, but session players, and you could see who produced it, who engineered it. And I was fanatical enough that if I recognized a name on enough good records that I liked, and I thought, hey, if this guy produced that one, he produced this one. This one's I'm probably going to like this one too. And more often than not, I was right. Well, Norm Putman was a Muscle Shoals, Alabama guy, and he came to Nashville in the 60s to play for Elvis. And I was a fan of him because I knew he had produced Jimmy Buffett, John Hyatt, Brewer and Shipley, J.J. Cale, the Flying Burrito Brothers, and I was fans of all of those characters. And so I'm listening to this, and I go up where they would set the record sleeve. They would set the record sleeve on a Now Is Playing kind of a display on a shelf, so you could walk up and you could just grab that. You could grab the cover and look at it while it was playing. His name was Dan Fogelberg. And the name of the record was Home Free. And it was this song. It was this song that I heard. And it was called Any Way I Love You. Dan Fogelberg, Home Free, 1973. It won't change you.